One of the first things we're going to talk about is the creation of this world. What is the belief and what is the faith? We hear so much today in that people are giving everything in the book to deny what God's Word says about the creation and how He created this world. They don't believe this. They're trying to come up with all kinds of other theories and things. But we're going to concentrate on His Word, and this is what our faith and our belief should be. In Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We need to believe this. We need to have the faith that that's the way it happened. He separated the waters. He set the light. And He separated the light from the darkness. And then He parted the waters. And He made the waters and the dry land. And there He caused the plants to grow. On the fifth day, He created the birds of the air and the fishes of the sea. And He did this all by speaking. And on the sixth day, He created the animals. And on the sixth day, in verse 1, or in chapter 1, verse 27, and I'm going to start in verse 6, or no, I'm going to start in verse 7. And so, God created man in His own image. He created him in the image of God. And He created them male and female. All this was done on the sixth day. And He rested on the seventh. But in chapter 2 of Genesis, we continue the sixth day, really. Because He brings all these things in front of Adam. And Adam names them. But there was not any that fit the needs of Adam. And so, He took a rib from Adam. And He created woman. And then the Lord, in verse 22, the Lord God made the rib, and He had taken from man into a woman, and He brought her to the man. And the man said, "This one at last is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. And this one will be called woman, and she will be taken from man. And this is why man leaves his father and his mother and is bound with his wife, and they become one flesh." He took the rib from man, and He made woman. And the things that are going on in this country and in the whole world of man with man and woman with woman is not what God intended whenever He did this. He created us to be like Him and to be mates and to be helpmeets. And as we People today are trying to say that we came out of a little of nothing. We come up out of the water as fish. We put legs on us. Then we became lizards or something. Then we became monkeys. And then we became apes. And then finally we became man. That's not what God's word says. God's word says he created us. And he breathed into us life, and we became a living soul. He didn't say that about the animals. He said that about man, and man only. And if then we hear the Big Bang thing, something just exploded, and all of a sudden all this stuff came into being. That's not what God's word said. God said, I spoke and it became here. When we look at the trees and the waters and the fish and the animals and everything, and they just happened, they didn't happen. God spoke them into. If you think that this world, this Big Bang and blew up and just happened, take one of these Boeing airplanes then, and it wasn't designed. Nobody designed it. Nobody built it. It just happened. Somebody just threw some wings. The wings just happened to come on there, and all this stuff. And if you believe that, take your watch. Take it apart, put it in a bag, shake it up, and keep shaking it. See if it'll go back together the way it was whenever you took it apart. I don't think it will. God created this earth. God created the heavens. God created everything. And some of the pictures are shown on TV, on the news and stuff, of some of these rockets they've shot up in there, that cameras that are showing things. That didn't just happen. That you can't believe the views and things and the how good it looks and everything. In Psalms 8 and 3, and when I observe your heavens and the works of your fingers, the moons and the stars which you set in place. The heavens declared the glory of God, and the sky proclaims the work of his hand. And that was 19:1 in Psalms. Psalms 24:1 and 2, the earth and everything in it, and its inhabitants belong to the Lord. It all belongs to the Lord, to nobody else. For he laid the foundations on the seas, and he established it on the rivers. In Psalms, the 33rd chapter, verses 4 through 9. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work, his work is trustworthy. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the Lord's unfailing love. The heavens were made by the word of the Lord, and all the stars by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters in the sea into a heap. He put the depths into the storehouses. He let the whole earth tremble. And behold, the Lord let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came into being. He commanded, and it came into existence. The psalmist talks about how everything came into being. It was because of God and not because of anything else. In the 102nd Psalms, verse 25, long ago you established the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Romans 1 and 20, for the creation of this world, the invisible aptitudes, that is his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through that he was made. As a result, people are without excuse. We are told right here how it came into existence, and people are not an excuse of how it happened, but they want to come up with everything else except believing God's word. In Hebrews 11 and 3, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that when it was seen, has made and been, so that what is seen has been made from the things that are not visible. We didn't see whenever this earth was made, but we need to believe, we need to have the faith that this is how it came in. And then we will be talking about a couple of men with faith. In chapter 12 of Genesis, we start reading about Abraham. And we think about his faith and about what he did. But you know, in that faith, he was looking for something even better than what God was saying. In verses 1 through 4, go out from your land. The Lord said unto Abram, go out from your land, your relatives, your father's house, to a land that I will show you. And I will make unto you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And I will curse those who treat you with contempt. And all the people on the earth will be blessed through you. He made this promise to Abraham. He called Abraham out of his homeland. Abraham did what God said. He had a faith, a belief. God took him into the land of Canaan, and he says, I'm going to give you all this land and your seed. Now, Abraham never lived long enough for all this to happen. Abraham and Sarah were childless. And down the line, Abraham had a little problem, and they thought they would help God along. But God had other plans. In their old age, they had a son. His name Isaac. And God tried Abraham's faith. And God asked him to offer that son, his only son, which reverts back to what God has done, how God has given his only son. And he gave him for our sins. And Isaac asked him, what is the sacrifice? And God said, and Abraham told him, it will be furnished. And Abraham, knowing all this time that he was the one that was to offer Isaac, his only son. But God did furnish a lamb or a, in the bush. Then the promise went to Isaac and his descendants. In Hebrews, and we're going to be in Hebrews a little bit with some of what's going on, because I'm going to be going back and forth. And we're going to look at Hebrews, and we're going to see what the writer of the Hebrew letter said about him in chapter 11, and we'll start in verse 8 and go that way. And here's what is said. And by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed, and he went out to the place he was going to receive as an inheritance that he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, co-heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that had foundation, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself, when she was barren, received power to conceive offspring, even though she was past the age, since she conceived that the one who had promised was faithful. And therefore, from one man, in fact, from one as good as dead, came offspring as numerous as the stars of the heaven, and as innumerable as the grains of the sands of the shore. These all died in faith without having received the promise. But they saw then from a distance, greeted them, and confessed that they were foreigners and temporary residents on this earth. Now those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. And if they had been remembered that land they came from, they would have had opportunity to return. But they now aspire to a better land, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them, the same as he has prepared for us. And by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He who had received the promise was an offering up a unique son, about whom had been said, in Isaac, your seed will be called. He considered God to be able even to raise someone from the dead, from which he also got him back as an illustration. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things come. And then we notice that we have the 12 tribes of Israel. And they come out and they go down into Egypt. And there they stay. But God says, I'm going to bring you out of there. And they believed that, even though it was 400 some years before they did. They did come out of there. We're going to get to the leader in a minute. But Joseph, who was number one under Pharaoh, believed the same thing. And in 11 and 22, by faith Joseph, as he was nearing the end of his life, mentioned the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave them instructions concerning his bones. Joseph believed that they were coming out of there, and he gave them instructions to take his bones and bury them in the land of Canaan. He believed, he had faith, and he told them. And now we come to Moses. Moses was a leader. when he brought them out. And he brought them he was born, and there was a deal from the Pharaoh to kill all the babes because he felt the power of Israel and that they were going to be overthrown by these people. And so, and because there was a prediction that there was somebody going to lead them out of bondage. And God went to Moses in the burning bush, and he selected Moses. But notice Moses' faith. He refused to be called the son of the daughter of Pharaoh's. He went to his own people. And then he went to Meridian. And there on Mount Sinai, he burning bush, and God spoke to him. And God told him, you are going to lead these Israelites out of bondage. And Moses gave him excuses why he couldn't do it. But God said, no, you're going to do it. And God and Moses gained the faith, the plagues. He set the Passover in motion. And they were saved by doing what God told Moses to tell the people to do. We're going to be back in Hebrews now. And notice, starting in verse 23. And by faith, Moses, after he had been born, was hidden by his parents for 3 months because they saw that the child was beautiful and they didn't fear the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of the Pharaoh's daughter and chose to suffer with the people of God rather to enjoy the short-lived pleasures of sin. For he considered reproach from the sake of the Messiah to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. Since this attention was on the reward, by faith he left Egypt behind, not being afraid of the king's anger, for he preserved as one who sees him invisible. As one who sees him by faith, he instituted the Passover, the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, they crossed the Red Sea as though they were on dry land. And when the Egyptians attempted to do this, they were drowned. That's what the writer of the Hebrews says about Moses and his faith. And we go on in verse 32 and 34, and he talks about others in the Old Testament and their faith, Samson, Samuel, plenty others. How they quenched the fires and everything and talked about the prophets. And they all had faith. And they did what they needed to do and what God had them to do because they had the faith to do what God wanted them to do. And now we come to Christ. In Isaiah 7:14, God says, I will bring a Savior. He will be born of a virgin. In the first chapter of Luke, The angel comes to Mary, and he says, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus, and he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And this may be what people of the earth call the Christmas. But if it wasn't for his birth, we would have no salvation. So we're going to do the birth of Christ. And in those decree went out from Caesar Augusta, the whole empire should be registered. This first generation took place while Omnibus was the governor of Syria. So everyone went to register, even to his own town. And Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judah, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the family of David, to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And then she gave birth to her first son, and she wrapped him snugly in cloth and laid him in a feeding trough because there was no room in the inn. Here's the whole thing, that the prophecy was where Christ would be born, and that was in Bethlehem. Notice, no room in the inn. He was born with the cattle, and he was placed in a feeding trough, and that was his bed. And then the shepherds were in the field, and that's part of the reason that I don't believe that Christ was born at this time of the year. This is my opinion, but I think he was born in the spring. The shepherds were in the fields. They were taking care of the sheep, all the things for the sacrifices and things. And a choir of angels came, and they and the Lord born to you, and they said, "The Lord has born for you in the city of David, and this will be the sign for you. You will find the babe wrapped in a snuggling cloth and laying in a feeding trough." And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavens, the hosts with the angels praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, heaven and peace on earth, to people he favors." The angels even, they appeared to people, or at least to the shepherds, and they told him where he was. And they went and they seen. And they returned rejoicing. And then we have the story of the wise men in Matthew 2, 1 and 2. And I don't believe they were there whenever he was born, because it says the star was over a house that led them to a house wherever they were staying. So we know that they were not. not there when the birth. And I think Christ was more like 2 years old, my opinion. And that's why Herod wanted every baby killed from 2 years and younger. Because Christ was no longer a babe. He was starting to grow. You can believe what you want to, but that's my belief. They were warned, and they went down to Egypt where Israel come back out of. And when Herod died, he came back. He grew. They took him to the temple. He was teaching. And as he became a man, he grew and he taught. He did miracles. He did everything to prove that he was the Son of God, for people to believe, for the apostles to learn. And one of the things he said to them in John 1 through 5, notice, Christ was with God. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was God in the beginning. All things were created through Him, and apart from Him, one thing was created and has been created. Life was in Him. That life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, yet darkness did not overcome it. Notice that John tells you that Christ was the Word, and the Word was with God. In Luke 17:6, Christ says, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, the Lord said you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will." He talked about faith. And we have to have our faith in Christ. In Luke, the 22nd, starting in the 22nd chapter, in verse 47 to the 23rd chapter, we have the death of Christ. And this is the purpose that Christ came. This is His birth. This is why He came. He was tried, and in that trial He was beaten, planted a crown of thorns, spit upon, made fun of, and then they tried to make Him, because they had beaten Him so bad that he tried to make Him carry His own cross, and He was not able to. Someone else carried it. And then they took Him up to Calvary. And there they laid Him on that cross. And there He nailed His hands and His feet to that cross. And there they hung Him between earth and heaven. And there He died. And what did He die for? He died for our sins. This is God's Son. He is our Savior, our Lamb. This is what we need to base our faith on. That He came to this earth, that He died, that He's sitting on the right hand of God, and that someday we will be with Him in heaven. He talked about His resurrection. But I want to go over to Colossians. I'm going to go to the first chapter in verses 15 through 20. And this is the certainty of Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, because by him everything was created in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, or rulers or authorities. And all things have been created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning of the firstborn and the dead, and so he might come to have, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to recounsel everything to him by making peace through the blood of the cross, whether things on the earth or things in heaven. What does that say? What did Paul write? He wrote. He quoted this from an Old Testament, that he is to be the head of the church of everything, and that through his blood at the cross, for everything. He talks, with 24th chapter of Luke, we talk about his resurrection. Verses 1 through 8. And on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb bearing spices that they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away. And they went, but they did not find the body of Jesus. And while they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men stood by them in dazzling clothes. And so women were terrified and bowed down to the ground. "Why are you looking for he, the living, among the dead?" asked the men. "He is not here, but he has been resurrected. And remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified and raised on the third day.'" And they remembered his words. Christ then appeared to the apostles. And then the third time before he rose to heaven in John, the 20th chapter, verses 26 through 29. And after 8 days, his disciples was indoor again, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them, and he said, "Peace to you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here. Observe my hands. Reach out your hands and put it in my side. And don't be unbelievers, but be a believer." And Thomas responded to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Those who believe me without seeing are blessed." Do we have a faith and a belief that this is what happened? We know that Christ rose from the dead. And he now sits on the right hand of God. And this is where our faith should be. I have about 4 scriptures here and I'm through. I'm going longer than I intended to, but I was afraid of that. Hebrews 3:6. "But Christ was faithful as a son over his household, whose household we are, if we hold on to the courage and the confidence of that hope." John 11 and 25. In conclusion, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life, and the one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me never dies ever. Do you believe this?" This is what he asked Martha. In 2 Timothy 4 and 7, Paul says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only to me, but to all those that have loved his appearing." Do we have the faith and the belief? Sometimes, I know myself, I start questioning things. Did I do something that I shouldn't have done? Did I go too far? I have questions sometimes. But I have a faith, and I know for a fact, and I dread it, someday I'm going to stand before God because I've got an answer for everything that I've done. In Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, keep your eyes on Jesus, the source, the perfecter of our faith, who for the